Well, good morning. It appears the crowd is down a little bit this morning, but I'm not surprised. The devil's hard at work. I have a Sunday school lesson this morning that I believe is one of the most important Sunday school lessons I'll teach. So I ask that you listen carefully to the lesson. We're in chapter 4 of the book of Romans. I'm going to start with verse 17. Verse 17, chapter 4, Romans, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. This God is an all-powerful God. Amen. He's a God who's able to raise the dead. He's a God who's able to speak into existence all of creation. Everything that God's done, he's done by his word. Amen. He is a very powerful God. Yes. And that is the God that Abraham was believing. As we read in verse 17, before him, that's God, whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now he's describing Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Against hope there means beyond hope. God had made a promise to Abraham that he would have a child. And that child would become as the stars of heaven for multitude. He said, as the stars of number the stars of heaven, and he said, so shall thy seed be. Amen. But Abraham had no children. Who against hope. When the promise was given, Abraham was in his 80s. His ability to produce children was past. His wife Sarah was in her 70s. It ceased to be with her as her ability to produce children. But in spite of that, God said to Abraham, you will have a child, and that child will become as the stars of heaven for multitude. Amen. There was no earthly reason for Abraham to believe God. None. But he believed God in spite of the evidence. He believed God simply because God said it. And he knew that God was able, because God's able to raise the dead and God's able to call those things which be not as though they were. Amen. Let there be light, and there was light. So he knew that God was able, and he knew that God was a God of integrity, that God would do what he said he would do. Amen. And because of that, Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith in God. Now, there's all kinds of faith. We say, what is faith? I've defined faith. Faith is believing God. But there are levels of faith. Jesus rebuked his disciples one time and said, O ye of little faith. another man came to him and wanted healing, and he said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, give me more faith." So there are levels of faith. James talks about that. Faith without works is dead faith. He said, "Show me thy faith by thy works," or "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Faith which worketh, the Bible says. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Faith which worketh. Abraham didn't always have this kind of faith. For example, when he came out of Haran and came into the promised land, a famine came in the land. God had already promised to give him that land and to take care of him, but he doubted God and he went down into Egypt. Now, that was not an act of faith. When he got down to Egypt, he said to his wife, he said, "Now you tell her you're my, you tell them you're my sister, cause they'll kill me if you don't." So he devised a lie. That was not faith. But they come back into the promised land, and when they come back, Abraham has learned some things. He comes back to Bethel and rebuilds the altar there at Bethel and worships God. And he's been given great wealth. And you remember the story. Their flocks and herds were so great that Abraham and Lot had to separate. Now, the wealth that Abraham and Lot had obtained, they had obtained because of Abraham, not because of Lot.
Amen.
But what Abraham said was, "Lot, you choose which way you want to go, and I'll take what's left." Abraham, or Lot, chose him the well-watered plains of Jordan. That was a good place for their flocks and herds, and he felt like he could prosper more there. I think he should have had more gratitude for Abraham and what Abraham had done for him.
That's right.
But he didn't. So he took the best of what he saw. And Abraham was content with what was left because Abraham believed God, that God would keep his promise. That was an act of faith. Later we read where the kings came against Sodom and Gomorrah and defeated Sodom and Gomorrah and carried Lot prisoner of war. And Abraham gathered 300 of his men together and went after them and defeated those kings and their armies and brought Lot back home to Sodom. That was an act of faith. He believed that God would do that. God did it. But Abraham was growing in faith. Now we come to Romans chapter 15, which is Genesis chapter 15. And God, after he comes back, you remember when he came back, the king of Sodom came out and said, "I want you to have all the spoils." And Abram said, "No, I don't want the spoils, because if you give me your spoils, they'll say that you enriched me. I want to be known that if I'm enriched, God's the one who blessed me and God's the one who enriched me."
Amen.
And he refused the spoils. That's an act of faith.
That's right.
So now we come to chapter 15 of Genesis. And God comes to speak to Abraham and he says, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. It's in me." And he promised his seed would be as the sand of the seashore. And then we have this statement in verse 6. And Abram believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. After all that, he comes to a point in his life when God said, your faith is substantial enough. I'm going to reward you with my righteousness. That's where we're at here in this verse, in verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now, that father is not a natural generation, but spiritual father of many nations, of those who would follow Abraham in faith. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. If you can number the stars, if you can number the sand of the seashore, that's what your seed will be. When as yet he had what? No children. He's in his 80s. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith. In other words, Abraham had become a man of strong faith. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, even though he's past the age when he could bear children or produce children, he still believes God. He considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, now he's 99, when God came to him and said, Sarah's going to bring you a son. He's 99 now. Sarah's 89. Can you imagine a woman 89 bearing a child? It happened. But Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Those facts did not deter him from believing God's promise. Amen. He believed it in spite of the facts as he knew them, because God said it. Amen. He staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief. What does that mean? He staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief. What does that mean? That's what the word staggered means. He did not vacillate. He was strong in faith. In other words, he wasn't one of those who believed one day and doubted the next. The double-minded man, James said, is unstable in all his ways. God's not looking for double-minded people. God's looking for single-minded people. I think of the Apostle Paul, for example. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do. God's looking for single-minded people, people of focus, people of purpose. Abraham here staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He had committed himself to God's promise. In spite of what else may occur, he believes God's going to do what he said he would do. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And being what? Fully persuaded. What does that mean? There's no more any doubt. God said it. That's enough for me.
Amen. All right, amen.
Is that the kind of faith you and I have? That's the kind we ought to have.
Amen.
Is that the kind of faith we do have? That's the question.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith God wants us to have. To doubt God or to doubt God's word is a sin. So we ought to believe God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory, giving praise, giving honor to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, verse 22 is a key verse. Verse 22 says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That verse tells us why Abraham had righteousness imputed to him. Therefore. Now, when you study the Bible, when you find the word therefore, what are we taught to do? Go back and find out why it's therefore. But in this case, he helps us out. Well, if you look at that verse, that sentence, and therefore, the first word in that sentence is and. That word and has great significance. It's the first word. Before and came a what? A period. And therefore. And what that means is this. When you go looking for why that therefore is there, you don't have to go back very far. Because what's coming next is directly related to exactly what preceded that. So we don't have to go back 10, 20, 30 verses. We just have to go back prior to that period. And when you go back prior to that period, what do you find? Verse 20, for example. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's the kind of faith that God rewarded with his righteousness. Why did God record that? I believe he recorded that because he wanted us to know what kind of faith is required. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And therefore refers to what? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Strong in faith. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Imputed means it was what? Charged to his account. In the record books, any sin against Abraham was removed. It was gone. And Abram was judged to be righteous. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The same thing will happen to us when we believe God. But we must believe God the way Abraham believed God. Now, why do I say that? Do I have authority to say that? Let's look at the next verse. Verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. God said, I didn't record this just for Abraham's sake, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If we believe as Abraham believed, well, I just don't think that salvation is that easy. It's not easy. To believe God in spite of the facts isn't easy. It's contrary to our nature, isn't it? What does our nature tell us? Seeing is believing. If I can't see it, touch it, feel it, it must not be real. But God's truth is more real than anything I can see or touch or feel or taste or smell. God's word is real. And you know, we're taught, for example, this is real. I can touch it. I can feel it. It's there. It has substance. That's real. But you know what? This won't be here 100 years from now. This will be here 100 years from now. Amen. Or 1,000 years from now. Or 10,000 years from now. This will still be here. Amen. Now let me ask you, which is real?
Right there in your hand.
What God says is real.
Amen.
Abraham believed God. You know who I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe God.
Amen.
God has never failed to keep his promise. God's never failed to keep his word.
That's right.
We ought to as well. We ought to believe God. This verse says, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let me finish that chapter. He was delivered for our offenses. His blood shed on the cross of Calvary was to pay for your sin and my sin. and was raised again for our justification. What does that mean? It means this. When Jesus came out of that grave, it proved that what he did, what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, was sufficient to pay for sin. Otherwise, he would still be where? In the grave. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign.
Amen.
You know, I think of a verse of scripture. I think of this in John chapter 10. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and they ought to follow me. No, that's not what it says, is it? They should follow me. Is that what it says? No. My sheep hear my voice, and they what? Follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. That word never is a contraction of two words. Not ever perish. If you've ever been saved, you'll never die. I heard a man say one time, he says, "You're either born once and die twice, or you're born twice and die once."
Amen.
I'm glad I was born twice. Amen?
Praise God, amen.
Born again. If we believe.
Amen.
Now this text tells us what it means to believe. You believe in spite of everything other than what the Bible says. The Bible alone is enough for me to believe what it says. For example, the Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them on Sunday morning." Is that what it says?
No,
it says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, he's here. How do I know he's here? He said he'd be here. Well, if he's going to be here on Sunday night, do you know where I want to be?
Right here.
At Walmart.
I don't think so.
I mean, the creator of the universe is going to be here on Sunday night. He who went to the cross and shed his blood that I might have eternal life and a home in heaven, he's going to be here on Sunday night.
Amen.
He who gives me the air I breathe, the heart that beats, the food I eat, the water I drink, everything that I need to sustain life, he provides it. He's going to be here on Sunday night.
Amen.
You know, if you believe that, you know where you're going to be?
Right here.
or Wednesday night.
Amen.
Or Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night next week.
That's right. Amen.
I want to be where God is.
Amen.
And if I really truly believe that, unless I'm providentially hindered, I will be there. He said, ask and you shall receive. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. God said, anything I ask of Him in prayer, believing God's word for it, He will deliver it. Whatever it is. If I believe that, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask. Because He promised. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall, not ye might, not ye could, ye shall receive. Now, if I believe that promise and I need something, what am I going to do? I'm going to ask. Amen? Boy, it's quiet in here. Folks, that's the kind of faith the Bible's talking about. What else could we talk about? What other promise? You name the promise. How about this one? Preacher, I'd like to be at church Sunday, but I have to work. Is that faith? No, it's not. Faith says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God said, you put me first. And you don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from. You don't have to worry about whether there'll be clothes on your back or a roof over your head. God said, I'll provide it if you'll just put me first. Do we believe that? If we believe it, we'll act on that. I think about the Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the great honor roll of faith. But I think that's just typical of what faith should be. That's the kind of faith we should have. They're not superheroes. They're just Christians. They just believe God. And that's what God wants from me. That's what God wants from us as a people. Next week, we're having a special meeting. I don't like to call it revival. You don't schedule revivals. Revival comes when God sends it. But when does God send it? When we're ready for it. Does God want to send revival?
Yes.
Is it God's will we have revival here at Vision Baptist Church?
Yes.
Of course it is. And whether we have it or not isn't dependent upon God. It's dependent upon us.
Amen.
Are we willing to believe God? And do what's necessary to see revival come. Well, what's necessary? Well, number one, I believe we ought to pray. Huh? Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If two of you agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's a promise. Can we have revival? Yes, we can if we'll ask. Can we have revival? If we'll get right with God. I mean thoroughly right with God, we can have revival. I hunger for revival. Amen.
Amen.
Do we have that kind of faith? What does the Bible say? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house. Prove me now, thus saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that ye shall not be able to receive.
Amen.
God says if we'll tithe, he'll what?
Bless
us beyond our capacity to receive it.
That's right. Amen.
If that's true, why wouldn't we tithe? Well, there's only two reasons not to. Number one, we don't believe God's promise.
Uh-oh.
Or number two, we don't want God's blessing. Which one is it?
Yeah.
Huh? If we're not here when the church doors are open, one of two reasons. Either we don't believe God's promise that he'll be here, or we don't care enough to be here.
That's right.
Which is it? If we don't pray, there's only two reasons why. Number one, we don't believe God's promise. Or number two, we don't care enough to pray. Which is it? I said when I started this lesson this morning, this is one of the most important lessons I'll ever teach. Because, you know, a lot of people think they're okay. Well, I walked down the aisle. I filled out a card. I got baptized. But do you have the kind of faith Abraham had? That's the question. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Do we stagger at the promise of God through unbelief? Do we vacillate? Do we doubt? Abraham didn't. Do we? Next week, we're going to pick up with chapter 15. We're going to move beyond justification. We've talked about justification for two chapters now. We're going to go beyond that. What happens as a result of being justified? That's what comes next. So So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. Thank you for your time, your attention.